This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise. In November of 2009, the world-famous Gibson Guitar Corporation was busted by federal agents from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service over the illegal importation of rosewood from Madagascar. By all accounts, Gibson has been extremely aware of environmental concerns in their use of exotic hardwoods, and until recently, Gibson's CEO was even on the board of the Rainforest Alliance. But Gibson is a chain of custody certified buyer, meaning that the wood they buy is supposed to be tracked from harvest to arrival in their factory. The raid reverberated through the guitar and bass industry, making manufacturers increasingly aware that the folks on the other side of the supply chain aren't always following the same sustainable practices. This week, Sea Change Radio talks with Modulus Guitars, a California-based guitar maker committed to the exclusive use of sustainable woods. We speak with Vice President Anderson Page and Director of Product Design Joe Perman about the Gibson scandal, the international trade in rare woods, and how Modulus is able to maintain ethical and sustainable practices. We also hear a little bit about the history of the company and who's playing their instruments. Anderson Page, the Vice President of Modulus Guitars here in Richmond, California. Modulus is one of the high-end producers of handcrafted bass guitars. They've been around since 1977. Welcome to Sea Change Radio, Anderson.
Thanks, Alex.
Tell us a little bit first about Modulus as a company.
Well, Modulus Guitars currently manufactures high-end electric bass guitars available through retail locations around the United States and around the world as well. Been in business, as you said, in one form or another since 1977. The company has changed hands a couple of times, but there have been certain key employees that have remained constant throughout. So we feel that we still honor the original roots of the company while always striving to further the product wherever possible.
And when a bass player hears the name Modulus, what do they usually think of?
We're synonymous throughout the industry with creating high-end electric bass guitars that utilize carbon fiber technology. The necks that we produce are strictly made of carbon fiber. There's one exception, one model that we have that's a hybrid neck, carbon fiber, as well as a little bit of tone wood surrounding it. But we're known throughout the industry as the innovators of carbon fiber technology for bass guitar necks.
And was that since the infancy of the company?
It was. That was the original, that was the genesis of Modulus. The original idea came to the founder of the company, a gentleman named Jeff Gould, who was watching a musician perform one night, watching him labor under an extremely heavy instrument. The old school thinking for bass guitars was the heavier the instrument, the greater the tone. And that was true to a certain degree, but it was also a backbreaker for many musicians. And so this gentleman came up with one of those light bulb epiphany moments and said, there are other materials out there we can use that will create similar or even better tone than these heavy tone woods being employed. And it will also create a more stable instrument on a day in, day out basis.
And he wasn't even thinking of the environmental impact of using a...
He wasn't. He was an employee of Ford Aerospace. His day job was creating satellite dishes for the Voyager space program. So he was literally during the days working for Ford Aerospace, laying up graphite components that would become satellite dishes on the Voyager space program. In the evening, he was watching a musical performance and he melded the two together to the satisfaction of us here, you know, 30 something years later.
And who are some of the more noted musicians who are known for playing Modulus basses?
We've got quite a diverse artist roster. We've made our niche throughout those years and going back to those early days with what is considered to be jam band improvisational rock musicians. Phil Lesh and Bob Weir from the Grateful Dead were some of the earliest guys, known musicians, to champion our gear. And because of that, the subsequent generations of musicians who followed in their footsteps shops creating similar types of music have all been aware of our product through them. So we're very grateful to those two individuals as sort of some of the earliest folks to jump on the bandwagon. Since then, we've expanded out into more, you know, mainstream styles of music, more, you know, readily accessible to the public. One of our most famous endorsers at one point in time was Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers. We built the Flea bass. And that was a way that Modulus was introduced to a lot of people who weren't aware of it before. Before that point, we were sort of a niche product, something that was so high end, you really had to seek it out. You had to become aware of it first and then seek it out. Nowadays, you can walk into some of the biggest music retailers in the country or around the world and find a Modulus hanging on the wall next to some of the most popular brands out there.
Bob, we're of course a guitarist. When did Modulus phase out its guitars?
We stopped manufacturing guitars around the year 2004, and we were sad to see the guitars go because we were very proud of the history that we had with them. But in terms of you know, making sense with marketing dollars that were spent and even just the effort, you know, the elbow grease and the manpower that went into trying to promote the products, we realized that we were competing in a much larger market in the guitar market, and it was going to be difficult to carve out any more of a niche than we had. Whereas in the bass world, we're a much larger fish in a what's considered to be a smaller pond. So therefore, it became necessary for us to concentrate on what we were best known for.
What you gonna play now,
Bobby? I don't know, but whatsoever I play, it's got to be funky.
Yeah.
We hear more from Anderson Page. You mentioned a hybrid wood carbon fiber bass. Is that the one we're looking at here in the corner that we are looking at for our listeners? Why don't you explain what these two instruments are?
We've got two different instruments here in the corner. One is sort of an older relic, one that we dug out from under a little bit of graphite dust there in the back of the factory in the midst of our move here to Richmond. It's called a Quantum 5 TBX. That notates that it's a through body model, one of the instruments that is held in the highest regards in terms of the pantheon of Modulus instruments, certainly one of the most sought after and one of the most expensive as well. It features a Coca-Cola wood top, and that again is sort of the flagship model for Modulus. The Quantum through bodies have always been held in the highest regard. By contrast, right next to it, we have our brand new model. It's called a Vertex bass. It was designed last year by Joe Perman here at Modulus as a way to simplify some of the design of our instruments and therefore be able to cut down manufacturing costs, which we pass right along to the consumers. That bass is available in stores retailing for $24.99. So that's a price point that traditionally has not been hit by Modulus very often before in the past, especially for an all graphite neck version of our basses. Any of our basses, regardless of the wood used with them, can be easily identified as a Modulus bass. A lot of that has to do with the sound of the graphite that we're using. The implementation of that in the neck construction absolutely influences the overall tone. And you can make subtle colorations to that tone based on the exotic woods used for the body tops. But again, because it's such a small sliver of wood used on the tops, it's a very subtle coloration, and it has just as much to do with aesthetics and people's personal taste in terms of what color or appearance they want their instrument to have as it does the actual tone of the instrument.
That's Anderson Page of Modulus Guitars. Now let's hear from Modulus product designer Joe Perman. So you design and manufacture Modulus basses. Tell us what goes into the process of selecting a wood.
Well, because we make our instruments, primarily the necks are made out of graphite, which really shapes the tone more than anything, we can be we can choose woods based on cosmetics more, but of course the wood's going to affect the tone. So, you know, if somebody wants something that's a little bit brighter, we can use a harder exotic wood like a walnut. If they want a more of a softer tone, we can shape it with a maple, or our core wood, which is mostly alder. You have to start with the basic acoustic qualities of an instrument, even a solid body instrument. Through the years, we know what woods have different characteristics, and we listen to it without plugging it in first, and then we'll take the electronics and put them in, and as kind of maybe, you know, maybe the frosting or the spice on top, just to help shape the tone. But it all starts with the instrument and the raw materials.
Why graphite?
Because it's stronger than wood, basically, and it holds the tension, and it has a more even response for the strings, opposed to wood that could absorb the tone or absorb the vibration of the string. And years ago, people thought more the mass, the better the instrument, whether it came to wood or using brass hardware, and it's with graphite, that's just not necessarily true.
Back to our talk with Joe's colleague, Anderson Page. Let's take a step back and talk about the bass guitar industry as a whole, or the guitar industry as a whole, and some of their practices and some of the issues that are now confronting manufacturers as these tone woods, as you call them, become harder to find and regulated. There was a recent issue with Gibson guitars. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Correct. I've been following this just as someone in the industry who's been interested to see what impact certain legislation is having on the larger manufacturers. Oftentimes, we at Modulus fly under the radar in terms of our efforts to use sustainable woods, renewable resource woods. But the bigger guys, the bigger manufacturers like Gibson, obviously are first call for any government agencies or anyone else who wants to highlight usage of wood throughout the world. And so at the end of last year, I believe it was November 2009, Gibson's facilities in Nashville were raided by the federal authorities because they were tipped off that manufacturer had been using a specific type of imported wood from overseas that was in violation of the Lacey Act, a government regulation meant to suppress the importing of woods that were prohibited from being sent out of their native countries. And so there's multiple ways to get around that in terms of documentation, how you import the wood, under what name. But at the end of the day, when a federal authority shows up in your manufacturing facility, they know what species of wood it is that you're using. And apparently there was a problem with woods that were being imported by Gibson. So I don't know specifically which species of wood it was that was in violation of the act, but it was enough to shut down their manufacturing for a small period of time until it was sorted through. They've continued manufacturing since then, and I believe they've made some changes to their policies. I'm still waiting to hear the official response from them, but it was a major moment for guitar manufacturers as a whole. What happens to the big manufacturers will eventually trickle down to the smaller companies like us as well, and so it was a wake-up call for a lot of our industry to be aware of what woods you're using specifically, especially which woods you're importing. But in a larger sense, think about the big picture. You know, if there's a wood that's restricted from being able to come into the United States, there's a reason for that. The native country where that wood is being grown wants it to not be exported. And so it's up to the manufacturing facilities in the United States to make sure that we live up to that request and stay responsible with the woods that we're using.
And how would the regulators, the law enforcement officials, determine that this is this wood versus that wood?
It, it, It seems to go back to the paper trail. They can find out from any manufacturer who they purchased the wood from. They can go overseas to track down that source. Where did this wood come from? It typically changes hands a couple times, and that works to the advantage of anyone who's trying to import woods, you know, that shouldn't necessarily be coming into the country, at least not, you know, not in certain quantities. And so the more hands it changes beforehand, obviously, the easier it is to spin what it is. But there are ways for anyone who's interested to find out the original sources. We go through that same type of thing when we source woods for Modulus here. We've been offered certain types of woods that are certainly endangered and just carry a certain stigma about them, especially for us here in California. We've been offered beautiful batches of redwood. And it's one of those things when you live here amongst the gigantic redwood trees on the coast of Northern California, and you've seen how many of them have been felled over the years for lumber, you know, house construction. Everyone loves to have a nice, beautiful redwood deck, but you have to be conscious. You have to be aware of where that wood came from to begin with. Old trees fall down. When they fall down, they should be logged. They're no longer living. But to cut a living tree down in order to produce a type of wood for any type of manufacturing, whether it's guitars, cabinetry, you know, home building, whatever, is it's a big no-no. And anyone who's paying attention to you know, to the current state of the environment should know better. So we've turned down specific types of wood like that before because the origins can't be traced. If someone can tell us, they have a certified document showing that a piece of redwood was old growth redwood that was that came down naturally and it was just simply removed from the forest, wonderful, fair game. Let's build something beautiful out of it and give that wood a final last you know, day with glory. But if it's specifically cut down, that's something that we're not going to touch.
Here's what Joe Perman of Modulus had to say about the Gibson raid.
Well, with me, it was shock and surprise that they would put themselves in that position. I understand that you can't always have sustainable wood, especially when you do a mass production instrument. But to get stuff that's actually endangered, it's just not necessary. It doesn't seem like it should be necessary, but they manufacture at a level that's way beyond what small manufacturers like we do. Whether it was one model or several models, they're probably used in hundreds or, you know, actually thousands of instruments.
Now back to my discussion with Anderson Page of Modulus Guitars. But Modulus specializes in custom-made, handmade guitars. So obviously we're talking on a very small scale. If somebody came from Phoenix and had this very rare piece of wood that they said was in their backyard and they wanted to make it into a bass guitar, you would have no problem with that. But obviously if the Fender Corporation decided to use that same wood and come out with a whole new line of these bass guitars, that's where you get into red flag areas in terms of resource management.
It is. How much of it are you going to use? If we're talking about a one-off instrument and someone can provide that piece of wood with documentation explaining, you know, where it came from, fantastic. Like I say, let's glorify that piece of wood and let's build something that'll last a lifetime out of it. That's fantastic. But when you get into the larger corporations, people who, you know, companies who build, you know, hundreds of if not thousands of guitars a year, that becomes problematic sourcing that on a continual basis.
So those larger companies that are producing guitars and bass guitars in mass, what are the woods that are being imported and where are the countries that are importing that they're bringing them from for the most part?
Varies from manufacturer to manufacturer. And my most specific area of expertise there is obviously talking about the smaller manufacturers like ourselves. I'll start there. For us, we're using woods imported from places like Central America and even from Africa. There are specific species of trees that grow there that have tonal qualities that are very desirable for bass guitar manufacturing, even more so than just your standard electric guitar. The bass guitar needs to have a percussive element to the wood, a vocal percussiveness that comes across in the overall tone of the bass. Therefore, high-end bass builders have gotten used to working with a specific set of exotic hardwoods that come from those two particular regions. We've tried to move away, as well as those other companies, have tried to move away from certain woods from South America, specifically the Amazon rainforest, that were being clear-cut and logged irresponsibly.
Was it depleted because of building materials, or do you think it was depleted because of general rainforest clearing?
General rainforest clearing, which, as I understand it, in the bit that I've tried to learn myself, is not necessarily so much for the logging or the timber itself, but to clear spaces for cattle grazing and
oil.
Other things. And oil, exactly. Refineries as well as drilling, which is all much cheaper in South America. And so it's sad to think about, but a lot of these trees, a lot of the wood, you know, that would eventually become coca-bola boards, that we were using, you know, back before we knew about the irresponsible harvesting, a lot of it is still there. It's been prohibited from leaving once it was put on the endangered species list. And so therefore it's prohibited from being imported into other countries. So you have the worst case scenario, which is these beautiful gigantic trees, which were felled, and essentially they have nowhere to go, nothing to become of them because of the sanctions taken against the clear cutting.
So for our listeners, we should backtrack. These are all electric bass guitars that we're talking about. Do you know anything about the usage of wood for double bass violins and other instruments that are used in jazz and classical predominantly?
It's the range broadens when you get into those types of instruments, and I'm certainly no expert on the upright bass world, although I do enjoy playing a fine built upright bass, not as well as the ones that I've spent more time on in terms of an electric bass. But you do get a broader range of materials used, everything from plywood to other materials or species of wood which aren't so much lending themselves to our craft here, but to sort of larger implementations, which is what you get when you're building the double bass style instrument. You're going to need larger boards to work with, and so that necessitates different types of species being used. But it's interesting that those types of instruments being constructed can use something as simple as plywood, because the true resonance that comes from those instruments is it more in the construction of the body than so much in the woods used. You'll find such a wide variety of those woods used, but if they're building the same style of box, the body that the neck is mounted onto, you'll achieve a very similar result.
And when we speak of this category, tone woods, how many species do you think a maker from Modulus would either want to or be able to work with, and regions that would be represented there? Are there some domestic tone woods here in the States, for example?
There are. When you get into the woods used in the body construction, we'll basically break it down into two categories, top woods and core woods. The core wood represents a much larger percentage of the overall wood used in the bodies of our instruments. That's roughly about 75% of it, you know, just even on a visual sight line there, you can see where the two are joined. The core wood is really goes along hand in hand with the graphite neck as informing the traditional tone of our Modulus instruments, because that core wood remains fairly consistent. We use alder now in 2010, and we've used it for many, many years going back a couple of decades at this point. In addition to alder, the other very popular core wood is swamp ash. Now, swamp ash was problematic for guitar builders in the U.S. for a while because it too was considered to be endangered. It was a gray area because you never had one specific agency that was able to inform builders as to the status of these particular woods. You would get it, you know, via organizations like FSC, which is the Forest Stewardship Council. It's a company that we've, an organization that we've worked with before to try to inform ourselves as to which woods were okay to use, which woods were being responsibly harvested, and which woods were available to us in this location as certified, meaning they can guarantee us that they were responsibly harvested. We got information through several different organizations about 10 years ago that swamp ash had been over-harvested. It's obviously geographically limited in the areas in the United States where it can grow. It literally grows out of swamps. And so you're talking about areas outside of New Orleans or, you know, in southern Louisiana are going to be best for growing that type of wood just based on the geography. And so when we began to hear, you know, rumblings about that wood being misused, irresponsibly harvested, we took a step back and cut it out of the list of woods that we offered as available to purchase. And so we were probably a little bit more overprotective in that sense than we needed to be, because again, there was no official word that, you know, that these trees were going to disappear if the harvesting kept up at the pace that it was. But even the hint of a red flag being raised is enough for us to take that seriously and want to call attention to that. There's a specific type of wood that's become popular amongst the guitar buying public now, and it's called timeless timber. And this timeless timber is something that was, I believe it was put out to the guitar building world by the Forest Stewardship Council, FSC, as a way to use exotic woods that were not going to be responsible for any land being clear cut or responsibly harvested, but at the same time present some options to the guitar buying public that weren't available before. For example, this timeless timber were huge logs that were salvaged from the bottom of the Great Lakes. And these woods had been there for hundreds and hundreds of years, preserved to a certain degree by their location. Very cold water down at the bottom of these lakes essentially preserved a lot of this wood to be used later. After it was dried out and processed, it produced some really stunning guitars. And that was all a direct result of companies looking for an alternative material they could use that was going to be exotic enough to grab the public's attention, but certainly wasn't going to raise anyone's ire because they were using a wood that was a no-no to the building community. This satisfied both of those criteria and therefore became incredibly popular, fetched some really nice prices in terms of the retail market for wood that, you know, for hundreds of years had just been laying in the bottom of the Great Lakes.
The thirst for these exotic woods, does this come from a public that is just wants something cool, or is it from the manufacturers who are longing to find that perfect tone wood, so to speak?
It's a little of both. There is certainly a lot of PR value for a company in making it known that they are actively chasing every green alternative or responsible arts alternative that they can in the materials that they're using. We've come up with alternatives that are equally as impressive visually, but yet we know are responsibly harvested. There's the best of both worlds for you. It's something that sounds fantastic, looks incredible, and you know that it's coming from a source that is responsible in the way that they're harvesting the wood. And so if you can combine the best of both worlds to the guitar buying world, you're going to hit a home run every time.
That's Anderson Page of Modulus Guitars. A quick side note, a few listeners have written in wondering why Sea Change Radio is not doing more to highlight the tragic oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. While Sea Change tries to focus on innovators in the sustainability field, listeners may want to follow our Twitter feed at twitter.com/seachangeradio for updates and our perspective on this disaster. And we also recommend reading the fine reporting coming from Mother Jones, Grist, and Slate magazines. You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our theme music is by Sanford Lewis. Additional music by The Meters, Christian McBride, Jaco Pastorius, Quincy Jones, Bill Withers, Charles Mingus, Grateful Dead, and Alex Wise. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.